Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Vines, author of What Did Jesus Drive? And you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the January 19th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, episode 98 of the series. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and once again, I'd like to apologize for my voice. It's almost all the way back now. It's one of those stupid New Year's cold things. Tonight, Michael Mullally and myself are pleased to share our viewpoints about motorsports with the world, learn more about our favorite drivers, and bring to the forefront some of the issues surrounding modern auto racing. Tonight, as the racing season starts its springtime thaw, we turn our attention to the PCA Club Racing Porsche Cayman GT4 Club Sport Trophies East Series Championship. If that's not a mouthful, I don't know what is. Our guest tonight is Kurt Swearingen, represents the Tennessee PCA region. He rounded out the top three in the PCA Club Racing Porsche Cayman GT4 Club Sport Trophy East Championship class standings this season with 176 points. Swearingen ended up in the top three after a thrilling season finale endurance race at Daytona when he passed David Baum in the last lap of the 80-minute race to earn his first win of the season. The Spirit of Excellence Award was also presented to Swearingen at the 2016 Championship Celebration. The award honors a driver who embodies the values of Porsche Club of America. Swearingen was a class act throughout the season and a consistent positive force within the series. We are now pleased to welcome Kurt Swearingen into the program. Hello, how are you doing this evening?
Doing good. How are you?
Pretty good. Can you tell us a little bit more about the GT4 Club Sport Trophy East Series?
Well, the GT4 Club Sport Series was just an excellent opportunity for me. I was excited about racing against drivers in this spec series. I had raced a few races prior and saw certain classes that weren't on an even playing field, and I wanted to race against drivers and not against other cars, and that's what drew me to this spec series. Mm-hmm. I felt also that doing so would measure my skill against other drivers. And in a bonus, I get to drive a new Cayman race car, which is the first time Porsche built a race car on a platform that wasn't a 911. So it was exciting.
How was your 2016 season?
Oh, the season was interesting. We were, I guess, compared to a lot of the other drivers, very inexperienced and new to competing in something at this level. And with the six races, we only had prior experience at Road Atlanta, and that's where we started our season. And I started off with wrecking in two of the three races. So interesting start for the 2016 season. I guess give you more detail on Road Atlanta. Race one was where I had my first incident. I was trying to pass for second position and got a little happy and spun the car and had a little accident, but we were able to get the car going again and start race two, and we started somewhere around 12th or 13th, and we worked up to 7th place, so we started getting back into it. And then as we went further to the next day, we went into the Enduro, and we started 7th, and this was one of the most exciting races of the season for me because we started in 7th, and on the start, we went into turn 1 in 3rd place, and we were running really, really well, and we were following Jason Hart and Keith Jensen, which were running 1st and 2nd until we had a full course caution, and at that point, we got another chance to get a good start, and we got a great start on the restart, and we passed Jensen on the straight and got to pass Jason Hart, which is a pro driver, going into turn one, and I knew Jason was faster than me, but I had to attempt to pass, and I knew he'd get me back, and sure enough, he did. He passed me back in turn 10A, and I tried to follow his pace, and he was setting a blistering fast lap at Road Atlanta. He actually set the fastest lap of the weekend, and that's when wreck two happens for me, and I pinched off turn five, got the car loose, and couldn't catch it, and spun, hit the wall, and we're done for the weekend. So that was tough.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went on to NOLA, which was our next race, which was 2 weeks out. And we had a damaged car and had basically 8 days to get this car fixed. The whole left side's damaged. We had a little bit on the rear and rack and pinion. Fortunately, I own 6 collision centers. And as I was leaving Road Atlanta on Sunday after the race, I was with my wife and Sean and then my 2 kids, Colin and Lane, and we were heading to Disney World for vacation for a week. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get this car back together and be ready for a race in 2 weeks. But on that trip, I pull out my laptop, start writing an estimate on my own car that I'd just done to a brand-new race car, and my wife's driving us to Orlando. And I call one of my general managers from one of my collision centers, Chris Lowe, and tell him what's happened and tell him, hey, we've basically got 8 working days to turn this car around and get back to racing at NOLA. And we finish the car up on Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we load it, and we leave Thursday morning at 6 a.m. for NOLA. So it was definitely a tough time there, and getting back to racing after 2 incidents, and couldn't have done it without Advanced Collision and Porsche of Chattanooga, which are both race sponsors for me, and they both supported my racing and helped me greatly. As we got to NOLA, we got back in the car, started testing. Things went pretty good. We made it through that weekend. We turned out with a fourth, and a sixth. So we weren't running as good as we wanted to run, but we got back in there and kind of were in survival mode, I guess, at that point. And from there, we moved on to Watkins Glen, ran fourth, fifth, and seventh. Things turned for us a little bit at Virginia International Raceway, where we had 3 third-place finishes, finally got on the podium, and season started feeling like we were accomplishing some of the goals we had set out at the beginning. As we went on to Road America, we were now in the hunt for the 3rd position overall for the season. We were competing with Adam Merzon and Rene Robichaud for the position, and both guys had been running a great pace and faster laps, and we were experiencing some problems with the coil packs in my car, and the weekend didn't really go as planned, but we finished a 6th, an 8th, and we had a DNS. So wasn't really the weekend we were looking for when we were chasing 3rd overall in the series. But I guess fortunately for me, even though I had problems, so did Merzon and Robichaud. They ended up with problems, and we were all still left sitting there hunting for the 3rd overall. And Keith Jensen, that won our series, was way out ahead. David Baum was holding on to 2nd place pretty strong. Didn't seem like we were going to catch either one of them. But it was we went to Daytona from that point thinking, okay, we still have a shot. We're hunting for 3rd overall. We're not that many points out. We knew we had to go there and run good. And, again, we had to be chasing Merzon and Robichaud. We had to beat them that weekend, and having some more problems with the car. As we come out of the gate, Merzon and Robichaud in practice were just extremely fast. And Merzon has an unfortunate crash, and he was done for the weekend. So we knew then we were just fighting with Rene for that position. And in race 1 that weekend at Daytona, Rene finished 2nd, and I finished 4th, and we needed to be ahead of him. We get to race 2. We're still experiencing a bit system problems with stability and traction control, and so were a lot of other competitors. The GT4s just didn't like the 31-degree banking at Daytona. And race 2 starts, and Rene's car experienced some problems, and we end up finishing that race P5, and Rene takes P11. And all of a sudden, now we're back almost even with Rene in points, and I think he's a point or two ahead. But we go to work on our car Saturday night and Sunday morning, and we even have Kyle from Porsche Motorsports working on the car, trying to help solve some of the problems and issues we're having. We make it to the grid and just barely just in time, and we're just hoping for, you know, that everything's working, everything's good, but we're still fighting the same problems once we get started. We're running the race. We pit, and Kyle from Porsche Motorsports reprograms the car. We go back out, still having the same problems, and we're just like, okay, we just got to manage the car. We just got to get through the race and finish up. So not having a great race, but things keep coming back to us. Keith Jensen wrecks and brings out a full course caution and closes up the field. At that point, I believe we were fourth and back in the mix again. Roger Howardson and Rene Robichaud were battling for first and second, and David Baum was third. And we now know that we have a chance of reaching our goal again. So on the restart, we try to keep pace with the top three, and they tend to be getting away from us a little bit. But it was looking like another fourth-place finish for us, but our pace was improving as the race progressed, and we come through turn three and see the leaders, Rene and Roger, have made contact, and they are off track. So we are now P2, and we're outpacing David Baum, which is currently P1. So I'm talking to my crew on the radio, and we know that third place overall is ours if we just stay smart and follow David to the checker. But on the last lap in turn six, David Baum gets way loose, and all of a sudden it's attack mode. I decided at that point I'd have to race David, and I was going to make one attempt to pass him. And we got a great run out of turn six, and we gained on all the way down the back straight, and we go inside of him going into the bus stop. And from there, it's just a race out the bus stop to the checker flag, and we hold on and get the first place finish in the final race of the season. So definitely a highlight of the season for us.
Awesome. What are your goals for this season?
That's a long story.
What are your goals for 2017?
Oh, I want to race hard. I want to race clean, race smart, be really consistent, get more podiums than I did in 2016, and, again, try to finish in the top three overall.
What's your favorite track?
Favorite track? I'm a fan of all racetracks, but I haven't met many that I don't like, but I would say I probably have a top four, and it's Virginia International Raceway, Sebring, Barber Motorsports Park, and Road Atlanta.
What's your favorite thing about racing within the PCA?
It's the people and the cars. It doesn't get much better than Porsche and PCA racing. Our competitors in the Club Sport Trophy East were some of the best people you ever meet. And I believe the camaraderie in our PCA and our series is one of the best. When you talk about people, you never know who you'll run into at a Porsche event. There are pros that are there coaching and racing, and sometimes you get a chance to race against them. And it's special to have pro competitors like Andrew Davis and Jason Hart and Cameron Lawrence and others that have raced within the GT4 Club Sport Trophy Series. I look up to those guys, and I see why they race at such a high level. And I look at their lap times as we're racing, and I just go out there and try to get close as I can to their times. Also special where you can see guys progress and grow in the sport. Next weekend, I'm excited to visit the Daytona 24 as a spectator, and one of our own Club Sport guys, Adam Merzon, has moved up, and he's racing Prototype Challenge with IMSA, so I'll be there cheering for him, and also Andrew Davis as he competes in the GTD class. And so where else can you race against a guy and then go cheer from him, then cheer for him? And I guess it's pretty much Porsche Club America racing.
What first got you into racing?
It was pretty much the love of Porsche. I started with my first car was a 911 Turbo, and then in 2011 I got invited to attend my first track event ever, the Nashville Super Speedway by Porsche of Chattanooga. I think I was like everyone else in the world. I thought I could drive good. I thought I was good as any pro race car driver, and I realized quickly it was a lot to learn the first time you hit a track. It's not as easy as it looks. And Tracks Unlimited hosted the event for Porsche of Chattanooga, and I got to meet Patrick Long, which is the only American Porsche Apache driver. And while I was there, I got to take some hot laps with him, and I was completely amazed at his skill as we ran 150 miles per hour in the rain, 911 turbo, and it was, to him, it was like no big deal. And I'm over there like, oh my gosh. And then right then I decided that, you know, I really wanted to drive and do things like that and see where it would end up. And so I signed up for the Porsche Sport Driving School, attended all of their courses, got to spend some time with Hurley Haywood and Cass Whitehead at the school, attended track days after that for about 4 years. Friend and John Member, and he had prior racing experience, and we bought an older BMW to do some endurance racing, and with that E30 BMW, we went racing in the World Racing League in 2014. We had a lot of success. We won many races with WRL, and then I decided to try another challenge, and that was to race with Porsche Club of America. At that point, I continued racing with WRL also, but I went ahead and purchased a 2011 Cayman Interseries race car to race in the GTD1 class, and I believe that was around August of 2015. And while I was preparing to race that car, info was released on the new GT4 Club Sport. I said, this is what I want to do. So I made contact with Alan Shirley and Susan Shire with PCA. I wasn't sure if they'd let me compete with the previous racing experience I had, but I decided they'd have to tell me no. When they said, okay, we'll let you race, I was surprised, and I thought, what have I got myself into? Mm-hmm. But needless to say, in 2016, it was one of the most memorable years for me. I'm excited to go compete again this year in the 2017 Club Sport Trophy Series.
Well, we wish you lots of luck in 2017, and thank you very much for coming on the show. And hopefully it's a good race next weekend at the Rolex 24 as well.
Awesome. I appreciate you having me and letting me represent PCA Racing and the GT4 Club Sport Trophy East. And we're going to do our best next year.
Thank you very much. Have a nice evening.
Thank you. You too.
Once again, that was Kurt Swearingen of the PCA Club Racing Series. I'd like to wish him all the luck in the world, and hopefully it's a good weekend next weekend at the Rolex 24 Daytona. I'm also planning on being at the event, and maybe I'll run into him. You never know. Last year, I was able to run into a couple of drivers and actually had one of them on the program. So that was kind of cool. I'm looking forward to talking to some of the PR people as they're wandering around there at the track. And lining up some great guests for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. Are you a race car driver, crew chief, pit member, track owner, or maybe you're just a huge fan of the sport? Contact either Michael Mulally or myself to get your spot on the show. After all, you deserve your 15 minutes of fame, and we'd love to hear from you. The Rolex 24 Daytona is not the only event taking place this month in the great state of Florida. This weekend, the Race of Champions is coming to Miami's Marlins Park on Saturday and Sunday. They also have a little bit of stuff on Friday tomorrow. Excuse me. And television coverage will be available via a range of outlets all over the world. So no one should miss out on any of the action. Of course, going down to the Marlins Park would be the best way to see it. And I'm thinking about going down there. It really depends on my weekend schedule and the fact that I still have this damn cold. Viewers in the USA can watch Sunday's ROC Nations Cup live on CBS Sports Network from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Set your DVRs. Saturday's individual race of champions will be shown live on MTOD from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Sunday's ROC Nations Cup podium ceremony, post-race interviews, and the inaugural America vs. the World contest will also be shown live from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time on MTOD. Elsewhere, live coverage of the ROC Miami will be broadcast on networks, including Sky Sports in the UK, Sport One in Germany, beIN Sport in France, TV24 in Switzerland, Fox in Latin America, Fox in Australia, LETV in China, GZTV in China, Beijing TV also in China, J Sports in Japan, iCable, the Hong Kong provider, Astro Malaysia, and beIN Sport in the Middle East. The Race of Champions will take place on Saturday, the 21st of January, from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The ROC Nations Cup and the New America vs. the World contest will take place on Sunday, the 22nd of January, from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Please check your local listings for exact details of broadcast times. The territories which do not have live broadcasts will have access to a web streaming service from raceofchampions.com, while USA viewers can watch the Motor Trend live stream. Viewers in all countries should follow raceofchampions.com for live results service of all the races at ROC Miami. James Hinchcliffe will be representing IndyCar at the ROC Miami, and now we'd like to rebroadcast an interview we held with him last year.
First off, congratulations on your return to IndyCar racing. How did it feel to get back in the car after your accident?
I mean, you know, obviously that was the entire reason, you know, I went through everything I did was to get back in the car. That's what the last 10 months have been working towards. So for me, it was great to be able to get back to the track with everybody and get those competitive juices flowing again. So it was a very, very exciting weekend for sure.
What are you most looking forward to next weekend in Long Beach?
Next weekend's Phoenix.
Next weekend's Phoenix, okay.
It's getting back to oval racing, obviously, so it's something that I haven't done in a while, and we had a pretty good test there, a few weeks ago, and it's just about, again, getting back to that style of racing, because it's very different, obviously, for street course racing, and one of the best parts about IndyCar racing in general is that we get to go to all these different kinds of tracks, and so it's just going to be exciting to get back to that type of track.
Do you think the new aero package modifications made in the car will help you be more competitive this season?
No doubt. You know, Honda put a lot of work into the car in the off-season, you know, both the aero kit and the engine, and there's no doubt that the gap's a lot closer than it was to our competitors. You know, it really puts us back in the race, and we saw that in St. Pete, and hopefully we see that again in Phoenix and carry out for the rest of the year, and we'll slowly try and make the cars better and better and try and pull out front of the competitors.
Growing up, who was your favorite driver?
Greg Moore was my favorite guy growing up.
And why is that?
Well, you know, he was Canadian, and he kind of got into IndyCar racing right as I was getting into go-karting, and so the timing of it all was pretty convenient. And, you know, on top of that, he was a hell of a great racing driver. He seemed to be a great guy. You know, so as a young kid who was just getting into the sport, it made it really easy to sort of follow him and idolize him.
It's been several years now since Firestone became the sole tire provider in IndyCar. Do you think they've done a good job in that role? And what improvements still need to be made, in your opinion?
Honestly, Firestone, I think, is one of the strongest partners that IndyCar's had, you know, over the last, several decades. You know, they go back to the very beginning of racing at the Speedway, and they've been a dominant force in the tire category for a long time. And, you know, what we do going racing on ovals at 230 miles an hour is very unique in motorsports. And, you know, I don't think any tire company is quite as accomplished and does quite as good a job as Firestone does in that arena. So for us, you know, as IndyCar drivers, we're incredibly lucky to have a partner like them, and we think they're doing a great job.
How do you feel about the push-to-pass technology? Do you think it's been overused, or what's your opinion about it?
I think push-to-pass is a great tool. You know, it certainly doesn't make passing easy. It's not that at all. It kind of makes those, you know, maybe moments a little bit less questionable, which I think makes the racing better, you know, and everybody's given the same amount, and, you know, there's some strategy as to how you use it. So, you know, for me, I find it a fairer tool than, say, DRS, like Formula One uses. That's proximity-based. This one, like I said, there's some strategy involved to when you use it and when you don't. Do you use it to attack? Do you use it to defend? And I think it's a cool added element.
Many of your compatriots in the IndyCar paddock have competed in at least one event in the FIA Formula E Series in the past year. Will you be seeing you in any FIA Formula E races in the future?
I mean, mean, I'm open to driving anything if I get the call. It's, you know, it's something we toyed with when I was still driving for Michael, but there are no immediate plans, but that's not to say that if there was an opportunity, I wouldn't take it.
And speaking of you making the call, I know you raced in the Rolex 24 last season. Do you have any plans in competing in that next year?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I took this year off just because of, you know, the focus to return to IndyCar and making sure my fitness was where I needed to be for that and everything along that line. But it's a race that I really enjoy running, and hopefully I can be back on that grid next year.
What track are you most looking forward to in the 2016 schedule?
Well, I mean, honestly, I'm super excited to go back to Road America. You know, Indy obviously is its own deal, and of course I'm looking forward to going back to Toronto. But, you know, Road America has been my favorite road course, you know, in America for years. And so getting the opportunity to go back in IndyCar and get to race there is something I'm really excited about.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us today, and wish you lots of luck in the IndyCar season throughout the rest of the year.
All right, sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye.